So here Paul is going to go on to describe this sin. Verse 17, now it is no longer I who sin, but sin that, no longer I who sin do it, but sin that dwells in me. And so he pictures us like a house and sin is there. One guy wrote it this way, the tenant is not wanted, he is a squatter who is impossible to get rid of. And that about summarizes it. We try and get rid of this sin that we don't want, but he keeps showing back up. But that's not our hearts. That's not our mind. With the mind and the heart, the nature, the new nature we have, we long to do what is right and pleasing to the Lord. But there's something that's there that we don't want. We want to get rid of it, but it seems to pop up every time that we want to do what is right and pleasing to the Lord. But Paul says, it's no longer I who do this sin. Now, Paul's not making an excuse. He's not blaming it on the devil, not blaming it on anybody else. The I here in the context is the new nature, the new person. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the new nature wants to serve the Lord, but this new nature is couched in a body, a physical body, a flesh where sin will want to come in and dwell. And then the battle goes on. Let's look at a couple other passages which speak of this battle. You probably know them, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. And as you're thinking about this, in Romans 7, what I'd tell you, there's a difference between what you may want to call reigning sin, sin dominating a person's life, and surviving sin. There's sin that, from our old ways of life, that somehow have come on and passed on to us, and we battle with that. But it's no longer the Lord or master over our life that it was before. As a non-Christian, we had no power over it. That was our nature, and we just did that, and we were a servant to sin. We were its slave. That reigning sin has been broken, but yet there's still the presence of sin there to battle with. And you need to understand that the Bible sometimes, not all the time, calls that the flesh. Not every time you read in the Bible the word the flesh does it mean this desire against the spirit. The context determines what that word means. The Bible says Jesus Christ. Need to believe that he has come in the flesh, or you are an antichrist. Now, obviously, that word flesh is just talking about the physical human body. And I'm going to show you some places after we look at this struggle where the physical body can be something used for God's glory and for God's purposes. I listened to a couple tapes today that I wanted to burn those too, but I didn't. The guy just described this physical body as a dead corpse, rotten, corroded, and it stinks and it smells, and there's no use for it. And I'm thinking, what Bible is this guy reading? There's a truth to that, but then that's not all the truth. You can't separate my spirit from my body. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord, body, soul, and spirits. Some people have the idea that the real me is the spirit, and this is just the outward casing. This is part of me. This is part of how I express myself, how I worship. You know, when I worship, I don't sit there like this and say, okay, spirit, raise your hands. I mean, I raise my hands to the Lord. And when I teach, it's my voice, God working through this body. So it can be used for his purposes and for his glory. So don't let people tell you that the body is evil and corrupt and God has no plan for it. You know what that was in the first century? It was a group that was called Gnosticism. And they said the physical body's nothing, so they went to two extremes. They said, kill the thing, mortify it, beat on it, punish it, literally physical punishment, or just live it up because God doesn't care about this physical body. So they went into the extreme of sin. Now, what these teachers are saying doesn't lead to that, but it's not accurate. God created you with a spiritual nature as well as with the physical body. When he saw in the book of Genesis, he said it is very good. And it's part of us and something that God is going to redeem. So we'll look at that. But sin could still lie in this flesh, and then the battle goes on. That's what Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Sound familiar? If this doesn't sound familiar to you, then you better check your pulse to make sure that you're still breathing and alive. Or you're simply not a Christian. every minute of the day, there's, you know, you say, I'm going to go do this and set your heart to the Lord, but then there's a weakness that's there. That's the flesh fighting, warring against it. It says they're contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. It sounds like Romans 7 to me all over again. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, but I buffet my body, and I like the translation, I buffet my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There's a pretty big battle that's going on there. I discipline it. I bring it into subjection. And that's what Romans 6 is telling us. Don't yield your members as instruments for sin of righteousness, but as instruments of sin, but use them for instruments of righteousness. And so it's going to take a battle. It's not just going to happen naturally. There's a disciplining, there's a bringing under subjection, these desires that are there, not allowing them to control our thoughts, our emotions, our passions, not being controlled by that. But it's an effort that goes on. Let's go back to Romans 7. So that's the first little dirge that Paul speaks about. And then in verse 18 through 20, he's going to repeat himself all that he said. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. See how Paul keeps going back to the flesh? There is a difference between the new creation and the flesh. God still has a plan for this flesh, believe it or not, this physical body, but in the flesh there's nothing good that dwells. So you can't look to yourself for holiness. You need the power of God to produce fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the Spirit of God has to produce that which is good within us. Because in the flesh there's nothing good that dwells. And if you're trying to live your life according to the power of the flesh, you're going to just fall flat on your face and be discouraged over and over and over again. And I think this is one of those passages like Jesus said, apart from me you could do nothing. And you know what nothing is in the Greek? Nothing. Good. And those are ones you just have to meditate on, that I'm not going to look to myself for strength and power. Because in me, it's not there. That's in my flesh. He doesn't say in my soul or in my spirit. As I've searched the Bible, I've never seen for describing a Christian as someone who has the sin in their spirits. It seems to be sin dwells in the flesh. And so we have a redeemed spirit that's housed in this flesh that sin wants to dwell in, as I said, like a squatter. So Paul says, that's in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And so here, as we grow in the Lord, we actually become more and more sensitive to sin. And that's a blessing, but it also creates this issue that's found in Romans 7. Whereas before, we thought we were doing pretty good, we're growing, maybe I stopped these actions of sin that I thought was, but now my understanding of the law grows as I read the Bible, then I realize what sin is. And that's what Paul says, sin, the law shows how exceedingly sinful sin actually is. So you read the Word of God, you read the perfect will of God, then you see your own life in comparison to that, and we realize, boy, there's a great chasm that's there. And so we're more sensitive. And so we will all find ourselves growing in this sort of friction, as well as this sort of this battle that takes place. So here, to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And where does that sin dwell? Is it in his heart? No. Is it in his spirit? Is it a new nature? No, it's in his flesh. And that's where the problem is. Now, let me deal with the flesh. I've been dealing with it for a long time now, so might as well spend a little time on it. The Bible uses the term flesh sometimes to refer to the person that is not a Christian. Look at Romans 8 with me, in verse 8. It says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. See, there's a difference between battling with the flesh and being in the flesh. To be in the flesh means that is your basic nature, your identity, that's what controls you. That's not the description of the Christian. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, first of all, to be in the flesh is a description of a non-Christian. The believer, the flesh is there, and there's a battle that takes place. And what we need to do on a day-by-day basis is to determine where I'm going to place this body, either at the disposal for sin or at the disposal for righteousness. And turn back with me into Romans 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. See how Paul is consistent? Sin reigns in the mortal body, in the flesh, in the body. That's where the problem is. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. That's the choice. That's where the battle comes in. That's where the disciplining of this body, bringing it under subjection, not allowing to be controlled by those desires. And one of the best defenses against sin is to never taste it. Once you've tasted it, now somehow your body wants more of that. And people that have grown up in a Christian home, that have, you know, lived somewhat of a sheltered life, they don't have the same struggles that I will have, or someone else that had a life of sin. Because it's there. It was once tasted, and now somehow this body wants more of that. So you resist the very beginning of sin, the very first time. You don't give in to that. Say, well, where were you 20 years ago? You should have told me that. Too late now.